Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Decisions We Make After Midnight by Rachel Higginson. Narrated by Jillian Yetter. Chapter 1. Staring at myself in the dingy bathroom light, I tugged at the flowy trapeze summer dress I'd thrown on before I ran out the door and questioned my life choices. It was hotter than hell outside, but approximately the temperature of an Arctic glacier in here. I was freezing, and also still kind of sweaty. Basically, all the emotions simultaneously. Goosebumps pushed my arm hair into standing, and a thin line of sweat dotted my upper lip. I was a freaking mess, and 99% confident I was going to puke. No, I wasn't. I could do this. I could handle a job interview. Despite all the skin I was showing, which was a total accident and completely unprofessional when it came to job hunting, I could survive one interview. Maybe. No, for real, I could. I had to. It was sink or swim time. And since I was already drowning in a mountain of bad decisions and failure, how much worse could it get? I shouldn't have asked that question. Wishing for a cardigan to cover my bare arms and back and legs and shoulders and everything but the important bits, which were already thankfully clothed, I left the safety of the bathroom and stepped into the main part of the bar, where I had expected to simply drop off my application and hope they lost it. The pretty and super intimidating manager waited patiently for me at a small table near the impressive blue double front doors, sandwiched between two massive garage door windows, where natural light streamed through and gave the real wood floor a golden glow. Her badass platinum blonde pixie cut and full sleeves of tattoos made my knees knock together nervously. But her smile was gentle enough that I managed to wobble my way to the chair across from her. She was the kind of intimidating that mixed Queen Bee and Rebel Without a Cause into one whole small but scary person. She kept her smile, but her blue eyes squinted with concern. "Are you okay?" "Nervous," I wheezed. "I'm terrible at interviews, and I thought I'd have more time to prepare." "You're serious?" I nodded. Her head tipped back as she let out a musical laugh. "You can't be serious." I swallowed down the urge to puke again. "I am." She must have noticed the green tinge to my skin, because she stopped laughing long enough to pat my hand from across the table. "What's your name again?" "Lo," I told her, breathing in through my nose and out through my mouth. "Lola Ellis, but everyone calls me Lo." "I'm Ada Kelly," she responded smoothly. "And you genuinely have nothing to worry about. I wouldn't call this an interview so much as when can you start?" "Wait, what?" "The job," she repeated slower. "When can you start?" "What job?" "What do you mean, what job? You dropped off an application, right?" She looked at the paper in question, her eyes quickly scanning over the penciled-in blanks. "You handed this in because you want to work here, right?" "Sorry, yeah, I mean, there were several open positions. Which job are you hiring me for?" Her gaze dropped to the blank boxes. "You can cook?" "No." She mumbled through the other responses. "Have you waitressed before?" "I haven't." "How about hostess?" I shook my head and pressed my lips together. Her eyes flicked back to mine. "What about bartending?" Not professionally. I cleared my throat. "I've just, you know, dabbled in my own kitchen." I pretended not to notice her grimace at my bold claim. "Mostly I can open a bottle of wine." She managed to compose her expression into stunned confusion. "So wait, you've never worked in a bar before?" Her amusement with my application jangled my nerves, making nausea roil through me. Sweat broke out along my hairline, and I brushed at it with the back of my hand, pretending to smooth my flyaway curly honey blonde hair. But just beneath the anxiety was something stronger. That sickly feeling of not getting the job. Of having to face the hole I'd dug myself into. What was worse than getting a minimum wage bartending gig that I didn't even want? Not getting it. I pushed forward and grappled for confidence. Not exactly, but I've been to bars, like a lot of bars, so I know how they work, kind of. I'm a hard worker, I arrive on time, I can follow directions, I do well under pressure. Unless I was being interviewed. I'm a quick learner, and I... And you clearly need this job. At my confused look, she explained. You wouldn't be here otherwise. Nobody wants this job, but especially someone with other options. Oh, I don't have other options. That wasn't exactly true, and I could tell Ada didn't believe me. Slam! Shouting burst through the quiet, mostly empty bar from the hallway where I'd gone to the bathroom earlier. Ada groaned and tucked my application under the table. She was so smooth. I wouldn't have noticed if my adrenaline hadn't already been at level 10 and pumping awareness through every vein in my body with the tenderness of a fire hose at full strength. Then you can go to hell! A man's deep voice boomed over the commotion. He stepped into the light, and I was surprised to find a good-looking hipster, maybe a few years older than me. He wore dark denim jeans, a white short-sleeved button-up shirt that hugged his lean frame thanks to striped suspenders, and black-rimmed glasses. His hair was shaved on the sides and swooped purposely on top. His high cheekbones were tinged with color, and his eyebrows scrunched together in fury. He was unfairly handsome for how angry he was, and totally focused with his rage because he didn't seem to notice us at all. A woman chased him into the bar proper. She wore super wide-legged white trousers and a cropped emerald ruffled blouse, revealing a sliver of abs I only dreamed about, and tragically tried to magically manifest with tacos and margaritas. Her wavy black hair hit the middle of her back, dancing over her shoulders, and tangling in her clanking wrist bangles when she tried to brush it away from her stunning face. "Real nice, Charlie. Why don't you just throw our money into a trash can and light it on fire?" I was so stunned by the argument, by their sharp vehemence of each other, that all I could do was turn in my chair and watch it unfold. I'd been raised with better manners than that, but I couldn't look away. Maybe it was because I was equally surprised to be sitting in a bar in Durham, North Carolina, when I was supposed to be on my way to Florida that very moment. Or maybe because the bar was totally empty at 9 in the morning, so I felt like I was a very captive audience of one. Or maybe just because these people were shockingly beautiful and so very angry. Ada had dropped her face into her hands because she couldn't bear to watch. I could hear her muttering to herself, but I couldn't make out what she was saying. It was obvious these people were just seconds from ripping each other's throats out, and I had a front-row seat to the carnage. Charlie snarled back, switching his approach from righteous indignation to annoyed disdain. "Don't be so dramatic, Eliza. It wasn't anything as bad as that. She didn't do any lasting damage. We barely noticed. If it wasn't for both of you need to chill out," a new man growled, notching up the tension in the room by at least 20 degrees. He walked into the room, and I thought my mouth might have dropped open for a second. He was clearly related to the first man. Their features were too similar not to be connected by blood. Although he was taller than the one called Charlie and more muscular. Distractingly so. Which I only knew because his loose black t-shirt was tight over his chiseled biceps. Maybe too tight. Maybe unfairly tight. But maybe he'd just come from working out, if his loose athletic shorts and running shoes were any indication. But seriously, who had biceps that chiseled? Apparently he wasn't as into tacos and margaritas as I was. Poor man.
"Yelling at each other isn't going to get us anywhere." The new guy shot a murderous glare at Charlie. It's certainly not going to get our money back.
The other two rolled their eyes in unison.
I guess you would know all about that, Will.
Charlie snarled.
Yelling is what got us into this mess in the first place. You're the one who hired her.
Will, losing that careful control half a second later, shouted, forsaking his own advice.
And you fired her!
Charlie shouted back. Eliza jumped in, punching Charlie in the shoulder. Hard.
She was stealing from us, you idiot!
Charlie took a step back and wagged a finger between Eliza and Will.
You can't prove that.
He swallowed thickly, and I wondered if it was to grab some courage before he added,
It could still be an accounting error. Greg said he'd double-check for us.
Will crossed his arms in challenge.
You really are an idiot.
It was at this moment the three of them decided to notice Ada and me. Their gazes moved in unison to the table we occupied. Me, wide-eyed and transfixed on their squabble, while Ada cursed into her hands.
Ada,
Will snapped, her name clipped and precise.
Your friend needs to get out.
Not my friend.
She slammed the application onto the table.
But I'm sure she'd love to get out after that freak show.
Will's eyes slid to me, narrowed, skeptical.
Why are you here, then?
It wasn't just Will's attention, but everyone's eyes, all on me. Their argument hung in the air, choking the atmosphere and stifling the gentle summer breeze floating in from outside. Ada was right. I did want to leave. I wanted to grab the application from her hand and sprint out the front door. I'd burn it in effigy as soon as I cleared the corner. For thinking I could make it on my own. For trying something different for once. For thinking I deserved a 5-minute break from the bullshit. But I had better manners than to flee at the first sign of awkwardness. So I cleared my throat, squared my shoulders, and explained meekly.
I just dropped off my application. This morning, like 10 minutes ago.
Ada was interviewing me for a position. Charlie snorted a derisive sound.
Why the hell would you want to work here? Obviously, this is a shit show.
Clearly, his question was facetious, but everyone remained quiet, waiting for my answer. Sucking in a deep breath, I pushed the words out between clenched teeth. Need a job. An answer they could have reached by themselves, but I couldn't stop myself now. I really need a job. Will raised an eyebrow.
Have you ever stolen anything before?
My mouth went dry. Not from guilt, but from fear. This guy was seriously terrifying. His broad shoulders bunched up around his sharp jawline. His toned arms crossed over his chest. He glared at me like I was the reason he was so pissed off. And I reacted to his shade in the most normal way ever. Sweating palms, roiling nausea, clocking the nearest exit. A handful of hard candies at a checkout, I admitted honestly. When I was like 7, my mom made me take them back to the store and apologize to the cashier. The experience was so traumatizing, I've never repeated it. Will's jaw tightened, as if he was thinking about calling the cops on me anyway.
What about your bosses? Do you tend to sleep with them?
Eliza and Charlie burst to my defense. Even Ada jumped to her feet, waving her arms and shouting back at him. Their outrage on my behalf was so overwhelming, I forgot to be angry too.
Come on, Will, you can't be serious!
Eliza shouted at him.
One time! Charlie was saying. One time, and nobody is ever going to let me live it down.
That's enough,
Ada shouted at all three of them.
You three are a mess, and the reason we can't ever hire anyone normal.
She thrust her arm toward the hallway.
Go away.
Charlie cracked a smile for the first time. The mischievous look on his face happened so fast, my neck hurt from his sudden shift in demeanor.
Did you just tell us to go away, Ada?
Yes,
she hissed. It's hard to do my job when y'all are screaming at each other and throwing around insane accusations. Don't you also find it hard to do your jobs when you're acting like complete assholes?
Eliza threw her hands up in the air and emphatically agreed.
Yes.
Charlie, apparently over his anger altogether now, grinned at Eliza.
You were shopping. That's not working.
For new bathroom paper towel dispensers. Ugh, you're so annoying.
Eliza stomped off toward the dark hallway again. Charlie hurried after her.
But you love me anyway, he called.
Neither of them waited for Will. Will didn't follow them, though, because his focus was still totally on me.
When can you start?
As if I was going to work here after all that. I was totally intimidated by the bad vibes he was throwing my way. I was generally a nice person. People didn't usually have issues with me because I didn't cause problems. I fixed problems. I had done nothing to this guy, and he'd already accused me of being a thief and a slut. I was already over him. I'm sorry, who are you?
Will English,
he clipped out in that same tone he'd used with Ada. He's the owner, Ada filled in.
Along with my siblings,
he added, jerking his chin toward the hallway. My mouth formed an O. The three of them were siblings. That explained the yelling, punching, and name-calling.
I don't know, I stammered for the second time. I have to check my schedule.
It was a lie, and a lame excuse. But I didn't want him to yell at me when I told him I would rather work anywhere else but here. Well, almost anywhere else. These people were crazy. I wasn't actually expecting an interview today. I just stopped by to drop off my application. He nodded at Ada, an understanding passing between them.
You can start tomorrow, he said decisively. Wear black.
He turned around, but then seemed to think better of it.
Something that covers,
he gestured to his upper body,
more of you.
My cheeks flamed red at his insinuation, and it was all I could do not to run after him and kick him in the shins.
Ada's voice took on a sympathetic tone as soon as he disappeared. He's an asshole. I'm so sorry. The chair scraped across the floor as I pushed away from the table.
Obviously.
She grabbed my hand before I could run away. But he means well. He doesn't like the customers ogling the waitresses. That's why he wants them to dress modestly. At my incredulous look, she dropped her voice and pleaded,
Please, Lola, we're desperate. I know they're...
She gestured toward the hallway. Totally insane. But this bar is the hottest spot in Durham right now. The hourly is shit, but you'll make over $100 a night during the week, and up to 300 or more on the weekends, just in tips.
It's worth it.
My stomach flipped with that sick feeling all over again. Nothing was worth a boss like that. I already had a job. A legitimate job. Packed full of retirement plans and health insurance and familial obligation.
I don't know.
Think about it, she rushed to say, squeezing my hand. Think about the money and how much we need you. The spot will be from 4 to close tomorrow if you want it.
Should I call you if I don't?
She shook her head quickly, textured blonde bangs falling into her eyes. Trust me, I'll figure it out. I pulled my hand from hers and grabbed my purse from the back of the chair.
Well, thanks for your time, I told her, unable to quit being polite.
This was interesting. She smiled broadly.
It always is.
At the door, I turned around with my hand on the brass pull. Ada. She looked up from where she'd been staring contemplatively at her hands. Are they why you're so desperate to hire someone? She shook her head, glancing over her shoulder to make sure we were still alone. Not all of them. Eliza and Charlie are really nice. They're only like that with each other. They would never yell at you. I'm truly sorry you had to witness them at their usual. I didn't know what to say to that. But it didn't really matter anyway, because I wasn't taking the job. Nodding my goodbye, I stepped outside
relishing the warm sun on my cold, bare arms immediately. It wasn't until I'd gotten home that I realized she hadn't included Will in her apology. She'd left him out entirely. Probably because my first impression was right. He was a big, bad, scary boss, and I would be absolutely miserable working for him. I poured another half glass of red wine into my solo cup and swished it around, watching the dark crimson stain the white inside of the plastic cup with blurred vision. I hadn't meant to drink almost an entire bottle of Pinot by myself, but there we were. It had been a weird day, and I was anxious to forget all the frustrating reasons. After the strained and surprising interview at the bar this morning, I'd gotten the wrong drink order at a local coffee shop on my way home. I hated pointing out other people's mistakes, even innocent ones like a hot latte with whole milk instead of an iced with almond milk, like I'd wanted. So I'd struggled through the drink, replacing feelings like refreshed and energized with disappointed and sweaty. The day had dissolved from there. I'd gotten a disappointing email about a short-term apartment I'd been thinking about renting while I was in town. They were unimpressed with my new-to-town resident status and lack of Durham employment, so they decided to go with the more stable applicant who was willing to sign a one-year lease. I'd never been a wild card my entire life. The blow had come as the worst kind of insult to my type A and painfully predictable personality. Shortly after, I found out the Airbnb I had my eye on as a backup plan had been rented for the summer. I'd dragged my feet deciding how long I wanted to be here, and now there wasn't anything similar available for weeks. It was tourist season, so I should have booked something months ago. But Durham hadn't been in the cards at the time. Then my dad had called, asking when I was going to arrive in Florida. After that, I'd dodged several texts from my brother, Edison, who was wondering the same thing, and one unanswered call from my mom. Surprising, really, as it's been much of the same for weeks now. When? Never. Why? Your phone is buzzing like crazy in the other room, Reese said as she sat down on the porch swing next to me. Is it my brother? She shook her head. It's Owen. Shit. I took another deep gulp of the wine. I was going to pay for it tomorrow. But right now, my decision-making abilities were influenced by fermented grapes and my enabling best friend. What time is it? After midnight? She said, the sympathy in her tone obvious. I took another long drink. I messed up. My confession rang hollow in the sultry summer air. Reese had a small bungalow in an old, quiet neighborhood in the heart of Durham, North Carolina. There wasn't even traffic to drown out the insincerity in my voice. It was loud and clear and sober, even if I wasn't. Reese laughed at me, a warm sound that felt like college all over again and staying up in our dorm room until ungodly hours, talking about boys and sharing secrets and planning our identical futures. Turned out those late-night conversations couldn't live up to our real-life problems, but they were still some of my favorite memories. You didn't mess up, she said firmly. You took a detour and visited your best friend. Nothing is permanent. Hugging my knees to my chest, I stared out at the quiet, tree-lined street and the cars dotting either side. Crickets chirped nearby, and stars twinkled overhead. Dressed in only cotton pajama shorts and a black cami, I shivered as the night breeze pulled goosebumps from my skin. I had a job interview today.
What?
Here in Durham.
You're kidding.
I shook my head and had another swig of wine. Nothing permanent, obviously. The excuse was an echo of what she had just said, but it hurt my heart to say it for some reason. I noticed that bar we went to the other night was hiring, so I grabbed an application and If you're really thinking about staying, you might as well do something with your degree. I could see if my firm has anything available. Shooting her a narrowed-eyed look, I decided it was probably time to set the wine down, since there were two of her now. My cup was empty anyway. Reese had been my best friend since college, when we were paired up as roommates freshman year at Northwestern. We'd stayed together every year of our undergraduate, even when Owen had begged me to move in with him after he'd moved back from his graduate program in Indiana. I couldn't leave Reese, though. Not yet. Not when I knew I would have a lifetime to live with Owen, and only months left with Reese. Back then, graduation had felt like the end of our chapter. Grad school and our subsequent careers were going to take us in very different directions. And they had, at least for a while. But look at us now, back together. And where was Owen? Waiting in Florida with my brother Edison, begging me to join him once again. But unlike in college, when it wasn't a big deal to postpone my life with Owen or my pending responsibilities, this detour with Reese had much more significant consequences. None of which I could be bothered to care about right now, though, especially those concerning Owen. Instead of the nagging sense of responsibility I should have felt, all I could muster up was resentment, bitterness, anger, failure. That feels too permanent, that word again, but I was too drunk to search for synonyms. I don't want to freeload. I didn't tell her about the apartment that turned me down. A lease, even a short one, also felt permanent. But I had reason that they'd offer a 6-month commitment, and if I had my own place, I would at least be out of Reese's hair. I knew she didn't mind my unexpected visit, but at some point she would have to get back to life per usual. Her job as an associate in a powerful law firm kept her very busy. Late nights, early mornings, all the at-home research. Plus, we weren't in college anymore. She'd been on her own since her illustrious Duke Law School days. You're not a freeloader, Lo. You're my guest. I love having you here. She reached out and squeezed my hand, reminding me of the girl at the bar today. Laying my cheek on top of my knee, I blinked away tears and smiled at her. Thanks, Pieces. I can't tell you how much it means to me. She wrinkled her nose at her old nickname, but she couldn't hold back a smile. What bar was it at anyway? Craft, I told her. The one with the really complicated drinks. Oh yeah, that's supposed to be one of Durham's hotspots right now. Well, apparently they're having trouble keeping waitresses, because they offered me the job on the spot. She tipped her head back, springy black curls that she pulled back for her important lawyer job, cascading over her shoulders. That seems right. Your dad will love your master's in finance going to good use. Her words soured my already precarious mood, and I turned my face into my knees and groaned. How long do you think I have until he figures out where I am? Babe, you've been here for 3 weeks. He already knows where you're at. He just hasn't come to pick you up and drag your stubborn ass down to Florida yet. My voice was muffled when I told her, you're not helping. I know. Tell me what to do, Pieces. I used her nickname again because it was comforting. It reminded me of when we really didn't have all this responsibility on our shoulders. She was silent for a few minutes, while we both mulled over the consequences of what I'd done. We both knew I couldn't stay here, and would eventually have to make it to Florida. My extended visit would be over soon, and we both knew I wasn't actually serious about the bar job. It had been a whim, just like this pit stop in North Carolina. But I wasn't prone to whims or detours or ghosting text messages from the people in my life I loved. When Reese spoke, I knew she surprised us both. Take the job, she said confidently. What can it hurt? If they're that desperate for waitstaff, they probably won't be surprised when you quit after a couple of weeks. Plus, you don't owe them anything anyway.
She was right, but...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?